This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, including finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property, and getting it rental ready. The Blue Agency is happy to announce that they are in South Africa for private meetings. Contact Barry Cohen via WhatsApp on 076-577-2000. That's 076-577-2000. The Blue Agency, your Israeli property, is in good hands.
The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
It is a 7:44. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your morning mayhem, 101.9 Hi FM. So hold on. Just hold on. I said that Tel Aviv should have been a Eurovision, Israel's Eurovision entry. And I got a very quick message from Rolene Marks to say twas. Rolene?
It apparently was, because I also checked it out, and apparently it was. So, yeah, Tel Aviv, ya habibi, or in the plural, ya habibim.
Seriously?
Seriously. And let me just give a big spank to the Daily Mail saying that Israel's out of Eurovision. Eurovision's just posted the grand finale lineup, and Israel is there.
Unbelievable. Yeah. So, what are our chances with that pink unicorn? Wait, no, it's not pink unicorn. What is it? It's just a unicorn.
Well, it's just a unicorn, but she slayed it the other night. Noah Kirel, she is our Eurovision hopeful. So come on, Noah. You've been an absolute queen with a K at the, at Eurovision. Bring it home.
All right, so let's hope. So I didn't watch last night, but what people were saying was that the standard last night wasn't great. So I really am hoping that she can do that, that she can make Israel proud. So let's see what happens. Okay, let's talk about the week that was, because although it is so tempting to focus on Eurovision, it's not, hasn't been a very, very easy week in Israel, has it?
Oh, hasn't been a very busy week. Not at all. There have been, there's been nothing of significance in the news. What a week it has been. You know, the sad thing is most of us who've been here and have lived here through several of these rocket escalations are now, unfortunately, quite used to it. We're quite used to the goings on around what happens when our neighbors, the terror entities that have taken over the Gaza Strip, we're quite used to, unfortunately, what we need to do, how we need to proceed. And it has been a week of extreme tension, extreme anxiety. Last night, a rocket slammed into a building in Rehovot. Rehovot is just about 20 minutes away from where I am. And 8 people were injured and a woman was killed. Now, a lot of people say to me, but what about the Iron Dome? Why did it get the rocket? The Iron Dome doesn't get every single rocket. Thank God for the Iron Dome, because the alternative is absolutely unimaginable. But there are rockets that do get in, and when these massive non-stop barrages are fired, the unfortunate inevitability is that there will be a few that get through.
Yeah, and what happens? How does this work? Is there any understanding of how it starts? No, not how it starts. We know how it starts, but you'll suddenly have this incredibly intense hour or two, and then it just kind of stops. Is that deliberate? Is that playing to the psychological, or is that a physical limitation because they decide, look, the more we send at the same time, the more chance of getting through, and then sort of we take this time to reload type of thing. Is there any understanding of these patterns?
I think it's a combination of all of the above. I think they take a break. sometimes to go to the funerals of terrorists that Israel has already eliminated. We've eliminated 5 major commanders this week of Palestinian Islamic Jihad. Just to note that Hamas has not been involved in the fray this week. Hamas have kept out of it so far. But sometimes it's for the funerals. Sometimes it's because they have had a hiding from our air force and cannot gather around, which also makes it even more dangerous because then they go within their deep into their civilian infrastructure. Yesterday, a little girl was killed by a rocket falling short in the Gaza Strip. It's also they use these psychological lulls. You know, if I could describe Thursday morning to you, was very, very eerie in Israel because we were bracing for reprisals and nothing happened. And you know, it might not make sense to you listening, but sometimes we actually prefer to know exactly what we're dealing with because we know how to react with it. I've heard people in Sderot say they'd rather deal with the barrages than one intermittent rocket every now and then because it's psychological torture. And also because this is how they like to carry out these attacks so that they do try and overwhelm our Iron Dome battery systems.
Yeah, it's very, very frightening. Leslie says it fascinates me how they can spend all the money blowing up in the air rather than feeding, educating, and being kind to their own citizens. I guess it is, you know, we almost stop questioning that because it's just, this is how it is and this is how we've known it to be. But if you think about the amount of money that has literally gone up into the air from Gaza, what that money could have done for the people of Gaza, it's just quite incredible.
It's sad. It's frustrating, and it makes us very, very angry because the anti-Israel establishment are quick to call out Israel and lay the blame at Israel for the humanitarian situation in the Gaza Strip. Yesterday, we had Amnesty International tweeting up a storm that Israel taking out Palestinian Islamic Jihad commanders was apartheid. Showing us once again that they are shills for the Iranians and also that they don't understand what apartheid was.
How is that apartheid? I mean, it could be a lot of things. You could say it's murder. You could say it's all sorts of things. How is that apartheid?
Well, you know, Amnesty International never shy to redefine anything as long as it suits their agenda.
But I wanted to ask you about this Amnesty International story because there doesn't even seem to be a pretext anymore of neutrality. It is just a pure Israel-hating arm. That's all it is. But aren't they doing themselves such a terrible disservice?
Well, one hopes so. One hopes that Amnesty International, because they release these sham reports from the United Kingdom, will be hauled before the Charity Commission faster than, you know, they can actually say Israel is an apartheid state and be held to account, first of all, to reveal all of their funding. They're very good at obscuring a vast swathe of their funding. And in my opinion, they should be defunded and shut down.
Yeah. It's really just become a terrible sham of an organization. So where are we right now? Because the night, thank God, has been quiet after a terrible, terrible barrage of rockets in the early evening last night.
The night has been quiet. There are hopes that there could be a ceasefire in a negotiation. I think we also have to be careful that until you hear the words, you know, ceasefire has been agreed to by Israel, you know, by both parties, don't assume that there's been a ceasefire. But the stats coming in from the IDF this morning is about 866 rockets fired in the last 40 hours or so towards Israeli civilians. These are 866 or so war crimes.
Yeah, unfortunately, will never be seen as that. 866, 160 of them fell short, 670 crossed the border, and 260 were intercepted. The problem is, and one of the issues that we wanted to chat about is how we consume and interrogate the news that we receive. So we know that if, for example, it's coming from Al Jazeera and it relates to Israel, that we need to view it with a certain amount of skepticism. Same, sadly, with the New York Times. But what happens when we're on these groups and people who we trust share information that might or might not be accurate?
This is an excellent, excellent, excellent question, and so very, very important. Now, I know especially people outside of Israel want the news and they want it in real time, but please be very, very careful of the groups on WhatsApp that you join. There is one, I know that many, many of our listeners are on it, that has been putting out information this week. First of all, the person who runs this group is not based in Israel. They're based in the United States. Second of all, we don't know who this person is. And third of all, they're putting out stuff that is extremely, extremely dangerous. Not only have they put out inaccurate information, but they're putting out information that could endanger our soldiers and our civilians. There is a ruling in Israel. It is understood, first of all, that we never reveal where our iron domes are. We don't show where the rockets are landing. And that is at the request of our military. And here I ask you to be smart consumers. The military is never going to make public if they are calling up reserves, how many reserves, what units are being called up, what's happening in a real-time situation in a time of conflict. This particular group this week put out a notice that 10,000 reservists were being called up. Our IDF spokesperson, the brilliant Rear Admiral Hagari, said there is a possibility that there could be reserves. No one mentions 10,000 reservists. Now, when you put out a message like that, you imply that Israel is going full-scale ground invasion into Gaza. You create a sense of panic. You create a sense of anxiety. It is patently untrue. The IDF did not say that, and it implies that we are in a full-scale wartime scenario. And you will notice Israel does not use the terminology war very, very easily. What has happened this week has been an escalation or an operation, but not a war. We are very careful with that. Also, this particular group put out statements saying that the IDF spokesperson, our IDF spokespeople are highly skilled, highly trained. They don't make statements like, we're not going to stop, we're going to carry on just smacking them. This is not how our soldiers speak.
Yeah, so, it's actually almost laughable, but it does, you know, just because somebody puts the word IDF spokesperson in front of it doesn't mean. The other aspect and the other thing that I've noticed is sharing current videos. My wife received, we have a son living in Tel Aviv, my wife received a video of people running and from the beaches you know, pictured our son in well, not running from the beach because hopefully he was at work, but the sense of panic. She sent it to him and he said, well, this is an old video. You know, yeah, we obviously there was the, I think one or two times that they had to go into shelters, but it isn't this right now. This isn't what's happening. And sense of anxiety that it causes for people around the world is not necessary, and it does damage, unfortunately.
The other message put out was that they were firing rockets at aeroplanes. That did not happen. There was an interception over Tel Aviv, and Israel Airport Control asked planes to circle before landing, and a couple of minutes later said, you've got the all clear to land. So please, we know that many of you want your news in real time. Please make sure that you get it from places that are properly accredited. If you doubt whether they're accredited, check with journalists, check with organizations working on the ground here in Israel. It's very, very frustrating for us as journalists because we are behind these people putting out fires and correcting the misinformation that's put out there, which at in the absolute worst case scenario puts our soldiers at risk.
Speaking about the journalists, should Israel apologize for the war correspondents killed in conflict?
Well, here's an interesting conundrum, because it is exactly a year after Shirin Abu Akleh was killed in that crossfire during the counter-terror raid in Jenin. Now, our spokesperson, Rear Admiral Hagari, said, you know, that Israel was is sorry. We're very, very sorry for the death. She was a journalist, a very established journalist, and we want journalists to feel safe in Israel, especially in wartime. And even if they criticize us, we want them to feel safe. But I'm thinking, are we setting a very dangerous precedent here? Because earlier this week, Russia killed a very prominent AFP reporter in Ukraine. Nobody said a peep. Russia is holding a Wall Street journalist captive. Nobody is saying a peep. I think Israel in this case apologizing has set a very, very dangerous precedent and very dangerous double standard for Israel under wartime.
Interesting thoughts. I'd love yours. 34519 or 0618951019. What do you think about Israel apologizing for this? Rolene Marks, thank you as always. Wishing you a Shabbat Shalom, a safe weekend, and we'll catch you next week.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, including finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property, and getting it rental ready. The Blue Agency is happy to announce that they are in South Africa for private meetings. Contact Barry Cohen via WhatsApp on 076-577-2000. That's 076-577-2000. The Blue Agency, your Israeli property, is in good hands.